This is Making Sense in the Media. I'm Mary Shedden with Kelly McBride of the Poynter Institute for Media Studies. There seems to be no shortage of opinionated voices in today's media. On cable TV, you could say it's overwhelming. But that's not the case for American newspapers, where opinion pages are becoming endangered. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel recently eliminated all but one of its editorial pages, following similar steps taken by papers from Fort Lauderdale to Chicago. Kelly, what's happened at newspapers?
We know this story, right? There have been cutbacks in the number of staff at newspapers, and that includes the number of people writing editorials. That leads to a decline in the number of editorials that are published. Also, last year, the professional association that represented editorial writers, the Association of Opinion Journalists, they actually shut down because they couldn't find enough support to keep them going.
Okay, so I know the number of people working at newspapers has declined, but what else has happened?
The type of information that's available to all of us as consumers has also shifted. And ironically, it's become much more personal experience and opinion, and also a lot more emotion in that information. If you compare that with the traditional editorial voice in newspapers, what we see is that consumers don't gravitate toward that very formal editorial voice. People are looking for personal connection.
What's interesting is that this is all happening in newspapers at a time when opinion media, like what we heard on CNN with Anderson Cooper, is more popular than ever.
Exactly. Really, starting with talk radio back in the 80s, and then cable TV news, and now the internet, we've learned that the appetite for personal opinion and emotion is much, much bigger than we ever imagined.
But isn't what these folks are doing different from informed opinion that you would see on the editorial page?
Not all of it. I mean, your question presupposes that informed opinion must be devoid of emotion and that emotional argument must be devoid of facts. And I'm not buying that. A couple of years ago, the Washington Post started a feature called Post Everything, and it's a team of editors that are specifically tasked with finding and coaching diverse opinions into informed personal columns. And that works really well. So when we're arguing about complex topics like healthcare or foreign policy, I can digest information when it's personal. And you can do that in two ways. You can do that by telling me a personal story or by attaching emotion, real or manufactured, into the argument.
I like how you explain that there's a difference between informed and uninformed opinion. But how can you tell the difference?
You have to look for emotions and facts. And it's easier to see it when you read or hear something that you disagree with. Because when you disagree with it, you can tell if there's no facts behind the emotion or the personal narrative. I don't get cats as pets, but I should be able to read a well-crafted essay by a cat lover and experience that emotion. Once you've trained yourself to appreciate both, then you have to start looking for personal or opinion pieces that you actually agree with and find out if there's any facts in those pieces.
Kelly McBride of the Poynter Institute for Media Studies, tell me, is there anything you don't have an opinion about?
Well, there are a lot of things that I have opinions about that I won't share publicly, so let's leave it there.